Chair Gillian Hayes is here. Vice Chair Justin Castaneda is here. Alder Derek Field is here. Alder Uguer is here. Julia Matthews is here. William Ohowitz is here. Belinda Thomas is here. And Jennifer McGrath is here. Chair, that concludes the attendance.
Thank you. We'll open with the approval of the minutes for the meeting held on July 25th, 2024. Are there any additions or corrections? Seeing none, I will entertain a motion to approve. Alder Uguer. And I assume seconded by Alder Field. I will assume unanimous consent unless I see a raised hand to object. All right, so seeing no raised hands, the motion to approve the minutes passes unanimously. Was there any public comment? Any
No
registrants?
one is registered to speak for public comment.
Okay, great. Disclosures and recusals. Does any members of the body have any required disclosures or recusals they'd like to share? Alder Field.
Thank you, Chair. I'm disclosing that I work for UW Madison, just in case recommendations are relevant there. That should not affect my vote. Thank you.
Great, thank you. Any others? So we'll get into new business item two. Before we get into discussion on this, approving housing recommendations that serve to strengthen efforts to expand rental homeownership and student developments prepared by the Housing Strategy Committee, we will have a presentation by Bill Connors from the student group.
Hello, everyone. Is the looks like we don't. Well, Jason is here on the call. Jason Ilstrup. I don't know if he's available to speak. I was under the impression he might go first, but I will speak if he's not available.
I am available, Madam Chair, if you would like me to do the presentation to begin with.
Go ahead, Jason.
Thank you very much. So thank you all for meeting with us again. As you know, Downtown Madison Inc., in a partnership with our friends Alders Bennett and Governor Rodgen, helped lead the Affordable Student Housing Working Group. We came to you in July with our initial recommendations, but we wanted to wait to make our final recommendations until the JLL survey and study that the university and the city of Madison commissioned was finalized. And that was finalized about a roughly a month's time ago or so. And so the Affordable Housing Student Working Group, as part of your work and following up to you, met a couple of days ago and made several additional recommendations to our initial draft. We didn't change any of the original draft recommendations that we showed you at the July meeting, but we did add five more recommendations. And these five recommendations, several of them actually are part of other recommendations we made as in other trenches. So we had a three-pronged approach to our recommendations. One was to you all, the City of Madison. Another was to UW. And the last was to the private development community. So actually three or four of these five recommendations were actually somewhat were included in the original UW or private recommendations. But we wanted to make sure that the city saw those as well, and they could also help the city of Madison in their work to find more affordable housing options for students. So there are five new additions that you see here. First is to encourage flexibility in use of new housing developments. There's a long conversation in the committee about the importance of making sure that we're having housing that meets different users and not just one specific development or just students itself. There was a concern that potentially we may be building too many student-specific units, and that we would like to make sure that the buildings that are getting built, to whatever the power of the city could help with that, is to create as many users to use those buildings as possible. The second was to encourage a more comprehensive and additional comprehensive market study of what's going on with student housing and student affordability. We feel that the JLL study was a wonderful start, but we think there needs to be more research, including academic research, like universities UC Davis in particular as a model to really delve even more deeply into the data. Honestly, things like going unit by unit to figure out what the actual count of units is, we still don't have good grasp here in Madison. So that one idea is to encourage the city of Madison to participate in that work, which will be a public-private partnership, most likely with the university, city of Madison, and the private development community. The next is to evaluate development fees and regulations on whether any of those could be reduced to assist in the cost of housing. I believe some of the other subcommittees have also broached this same topic and just really evaluating, making sure that everything is being evaluated to keep things as costly, as cost-free as possible, to lower the cost for the development, therefore keep rents down for renters. The fourth is to encourage a comprehensive market survey for our friends at Madison College as well. The JLL survey was certainly more geared towards UW, and one area that we need to pay more attention to is Madison College and what their students' needs are, which the committee felt, including representation from Madison College, felt is different than what UW Madison needs. And then the last one, excuse me. The last one is to encourage the city of Madison to work on with UW on education for students. This effort will most likely be led by both the private and UW, but make sure that the city of Madison is a part of that education effort for students. This was basically a universal topic that we had robust conversation on, that we need to better educate, oftentimes 17, 18, 19-year-olds on leases and what the terms are and how this all works, and help make sure that they have all the tools that they need to succeed when they're entering into these legal documents, sometimes often the first legal documents they may be ever entering in their lives. And so an education, a robust education policy, and working with the city on that is one of the last, this is the last recommendation of the additional five that we are making. Certainly, I would love to turn it over to Bill Connors, who is also a member of the committee, the executive director of Smart Growth. And I see we also have Alder Govindarajan from the 8th District, who has been key and one of the co-leaders of this work, if they have anything else to add that I might have missed in that presentation.
Great. Thank you, Jason. Bill, did you want to go next?
Yes, sure. Thank you. Yeah, the only thing I would add is that the first four additional recommendations are clearly not going to bear fruit instantly. They're a long-term strategy or long-term strategies. But part of what we talked about in this most recent meeting was what can we do in the short run to help students? And I think the fifth new recommendation, the point about how can we help students identify, frankly, lower cost housing that's available out there in the marketplace, but not very easy to find. That would help them understand that they don't need to rush in the fall to lease an apartment for the following fall, so that they don't feel that sort of angst and almost panic about how fast they need to line up housing for the next school year right at the start of the school year. Those are things that we discussed, and it's going to require cooperation from university and the private sector, and hopefully the city government will be involved as well. That's all I have to add.
Thank you, Bill. Alder Govindarajan, did you have anything else you wanted to add?
Just here for questions.
Great. Then I believe that we are available as a committee to ask questions now, or we can ask questions of the student housing group when we discuss the report as a whole. Is that correct? Yeah. Okay. Justice, go ahead.
We can do that. Point of order. I don't think we can, once we go into discussion, that's just between the committee. So if we have questions for him, that's right now. But you know.
Apologies. Then we should ask our questions of the presenters. Alder Uguer.
Thank you, Chair. This is a question probably for Jason. With regard to a more comprehensive analysis, if I understand the comment you made, because I'm always looking for as actionable a item in these lists as possible. What you re really would like to see is a verifiable count of units available for student housing. That we don't quite have that yet. Is that a primary purpose of a further market analysis?
Yes, correct, Alder. I think that the JLL study was a good start, but they weren't able to do a sweeping analysis and really understanding where are all of the units. With the student housing sector in particular, there are a lot of duplexes and people living in different spaces that aren't a part necessarily of the system. That these units don't make it to apartments.com. They don't, all the different ways students might find it, but they are where students are living. It's a really getting a firm count of the amount of units, the amount of beds. Is I think really important information for the city and for the university to make decisions in the future. So obviously it's a more long-term strategy, but you really need a verifiable count. And the best way we could do that, it's going to take time. That's an exercise that'll take time. The second thing, Alder, though, is I think we want some robust academic analysis of the report. And we've seen that again through UC Davis. They hired a professor to do that work and to really look at what we could do more of, what could be do less of, what those suggestions and recommendations could be. And it sort of goes into what Bill's point is, I think this committee, and I want to thank the Housing Strategy Committee for putting us together, because we actually ended the meeting by saying we're not done meeting. Even though we're reporting to you all as the Housing Strategy Committee today, this group is still dedicated to doing a couple of different things. To first, making sure that the study happens, because the private sector is going to need to be involved, UW is going to need to be involved. We already have the group together. But the second thing is to really try to find more short-term solutions right now for students that are having these issues. So the group is going to continue to meet, even though we will, not report back into the Housing Strategy Committee directly. But part of that, again, Alder, is for that study, that more
Okay, Jason.
intricate study, more data-driven study, really getting all of the units we can to figure out what the actual picture looks like for housing, particularly for students in
Okay.
Madison and downtown Madison.
Okay, and my reason for asking is we might want to do some wordsmithing on that to make it more clear to future councils and committees that that in particular is what we are looking for. And then I'm not sure who would best respond to this. This is a question I wished I had asked before on some of the initial presentations. I'm looking for a definition of planning and zoning work that would be less subjective. My tendency is to jump at a conclusion that that means that maybe we would or a recommendation might be to eliminate the UDC review part of a particular plan approval, but I just wanted to check on who could define less subjective.
This is Bill. I can talk about that a bit.
Please, Bill. Thank you.
One example would be to have more kinds of development be permitted by right, rather than having to obtain a conditional use permit for it, because the conditional use permit process is a is you know there are certain standards for
Right.
granting conditional use permits that are frankly just it is it, you either it either looks like it fits with the neighborhood or it doesn't look like it fits with the neighborhood. It's completely subjective. So and it's a very unpredictable process. And certainly in the realm of the Urban Design Commission, there are similar kinds of things where what does that particular group of people who happen to be on the UDC at this on this day, what they think is a nice design or not? It's really how that works. Again, very unpredictable kind of process.
Thanks, Bill. You confirmed my presumption about the definition. I have no further questions. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Alder Aguirre. Justice.
Thank you. Madam Chair, I guess the question I have is
you disaggregate what you mean by all development fees and regulations, and did you guys do any? Is there any specific ones? Is there anything? And I got a follow up question depending on how this goes.
No, thank you, Justice. No, we just honestly did this on Tuesday, and we know that there are some regulations. We did not do a thorough study, and I think what we would argue is we would ask the city to do a thorough study to see what the fees might be and regulations might help create predictability in the process and then make the process more affordable to then hopefully that gets passed down to renters.
Okay, well, yeah, no, okay, yeah, not everything.
Okay, thank you, Justice. Any other questions from the committee? Well.
Thank you, everyone who worked on this. MGR, I think this is a question for you, but we have, I actually have two questions. The first one is for you, MGR, though. So in here, we have prioritize new area plans, add more density plans. I know you were doing work, especially with the interim comprehensive plan update. Could you talk about some of the things you think we need to prioritize in new area plans or barriers to adding density to plans?
Yeah, thanks for that. I mean, I have many thoughts on this, but I think the two main areas I would say is, I think it would be important, and this is just me speaking personally, I did miss the last meeting for the committee, the Affordable Housing Committee, so I don't know how in depth they spoke on this, and maybe Bill and Jason can jump in there, but I think it would be important to say, like, there are certain parts of Madison that are growing much faster than others, and some parts that maybe should be growing a little bit more than they are. So, but some of those area plans are down 3-4 years down the road. Either they really need that attention now, or they should be getting that attention sooner. So I think maybe looking at that, the order of area plans is one place to look at. The second I would say is, there are various degrees of neighborhood involvement. Neighborhood involvement is always really good, but it's, again, very important to make sure that certain neighborhoods, neighborhood associations specifically, there's always that concern being brought up, especially with younger folks that who are in these discussions, who are at the table, how representative is it of the actual neighborhood that is getting the area plan? So I think that's also quite important when it specifically when it comes to density. Again, I represent the campus area. Our neighborhood association just went defunct about 2-3 months ago. So, and then there are other neighborhoods that have very, very active neighborhood associations with varying degrees of members. But two things that come off the top of my head.
Thank you. The other question. A lot of the things in the student report are listed high priority, and nothing has a priority that isn't high priority. Did you all talk about what the top priority is?
Yeah, I think initially we came up with maybe about at least 20 recommendations across the board. So the lower priority ones probably just didn't make it onto this list. If I remember right, we wanted to make sure we were prioritizing obviously things that we really need, but also things that are feasible, realistic. Like obviously we would love to just do X, like, I don't know. I was gonna come up with a hypothetical, but I'm not creative enough right now. But yeah, that's kind of why we picked what we did.
Thanks, Will. Thanks, Alder. Justice.
It's kind of fascinating. This question, as more I look at this, do you guys have any like ballpark, you know, any general all development fees and regulations? Do you have any ballpark as to how many? I mean, there's a lot. I'd be curious if you have any more explicit or specific guidance as to which or how we would even go about doing that. How would you even start that, I guess? Like, what are you suggesting that city planning go through, like, how would you do that? I guess I'm asking this, and I'll get to this in the discussion. My understanding and staff, you're on this thing jump in, please. My understanding is some of these things took decades to even get through. They had to go through state legislation. I mean, I just imagine, I mean, I understand that it's like a rhetorical device, right? Like saying that, it sounds very cavalier that we need to look at it, but without specific guidance, I'm just curious as to what that would even entail or how you would even go about doing it.
Well, this is Bill. You know, that could be something our group or other stakeholders continue to work on. I mean, if the city wants help focusing on where we think the greatest bite is, we can certainly help provide a list of things that we, you know, we think are have a significant financial impact that maybe aren't warranted as much as some others. And so, yeah, we don't have that guidance yet, but we certainly, if the city was interested in engaging in that conversation, my group and many others would be willing to be very, very happy to participate in that conversation.
Agreed. And Justice, I would say that our group would do the same. And, you know, we don't have them identified at this point, but I think we absolutely can go through that exercise. We would appreciate going with that through that exercise with the planning department and Megan Tuttle and the team. And I think it'd be a good exercise to go through, and we could certainly come back to your committee at a future date. Don't know what that is. That maybe doesn't help the work tonight to get the final drafts move forward. But we could certainly report back into you in, say, a month, 2 months time with some more concrete ideas about regulations and fees that might be helpful to remove or change or modify to improve the situation.
Jason, Bill, did you have any follow-ups, Justice? Are you good? Do we have any other questions for our presenters? Okay, well, thank you, Bill and Jason, for your time and your work on this.
Thank you very much. We really do appreciate the opportunity to do this. We felt very, you know, strong that the public-private partnership was great, particularly for the student question. And we, again, thank you, Chair, Vice Chair, and the team of the city for allowing us to do this. This is a good exercise, such a good exercise that we're going to continue to do it even as we've made our final recommendation. So thank you very much. We appreciate it, and we'll be in touch soon. So thank you.
Great. Thank you. Okay, so Justice?
Yes, if we also accept the report, I want to move to accept an amended version. I think we strike the evaluate all regulations. I think that's far too vague. So I guess I'm saying that I'd move to accept an amended version of this report with that specific recommendations stricken from the thing. And I've in discussion, I'll get into more as to why.
Okay, and then just for edification for everyone and rules of order, we can discuss a collective group. We can discuss amendments collectively and make a motion with all the amendments that we decide on and just do one motion that way.
I just want to jump in. I think, yeah, the best possible way is for you guys to start with a motion to accept the report, which and then a second. Once that's on the table, you can all discuss the report and all recommendations. And then, at the end of your discussion, I think the best way for us to, make sure that we are properly putting this into Legistar is then a motion is made to amend the report as, and then you can list them all. If that second motion to amend passes from the group, then you go back to that first motion and then we vote on that. And then what will move forward is the report to Common Council as amended.
Great. So then, Justice, you have a motion to accept.
Move to accept the report.
Okay. For a second, see Will. Then we'll open up for discussion of the report. Justice, you want to start with that First Amendment?
I think we should take that sentence out. Turns out, okay, so that's what, wondering how I felt. Let me tell you. No, I'm gonna tell you why. I actually don't disagree with the general spirit of what they're getting at. I think we need to be more disciplined with the specific things, because just having spent a lot of time jumping down this rabbit hole, there's a lot, and a lot of them actually make a lot of sense. And if you really get into what some of them actually entail, they made a lot of sense. And the city over decades has had to work very hard with state entities, with the county, to get some of this stuff in place. And, you know, all the way back to, you know, we shall not have smokestacks next to the daycare type stuff. You know what I'm saying? So environmental stuff. I think if you go back to the other reports, and even some of the things that were in the report from the student group before, there are some specific things that I think we could actually, we would be better served by being specific with those things. So however, you know, whether I think all this committee, the subcommittees, the student committee, all can spend more time to come back with a more disciplined ask than all regulations. I just feel like that's setting us up. So that's why I would say we should strike that from this for right now.
Strike the entire sentence, not just the all.
Yeah, because we can do better. You know, we can actually get some of the, and I think some of the ones that Bill and Jason have brought up before in previous meetings, I think, you know, we can do better. All of us collectively can do better than just generally saying all regulations.
Other Govinder Rajan.
Yes, thank you. I don't have super strong feelings on this, but just one thing I might add on this issue, this specific item is, and I wasn't there again for the specific discussion on adding this bullet point, but I think it would make more sense for the city to decide specifically which regulations or fees to potentially review and cut compared to the student group. Obviously, we do have at least one member of city staff attending this committee meeting, the workforce meeting, but the Housing Strategy Committee, at least from my perspective, would have a little bit more expertise on which regulations, which fees apply to which kind of building permits. And I guess the name kind of suggests you might be able to strategize on which fees and regulations to allow and modify. Just 2 cents there. I don't feel too strongly about it, but just wanted to put it out there. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Alderfield.
Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to state here that I would probably be more interested in eliminating one phrase in this recommendation, the phrase "and fees," because I understand that the fees are generally how the city pays for the service of that fee, the review in question. I'm certainly open to feedback or learning if that's not the case, but the couple of examples that I can think of, the fee pays for the review that an applicant is receiving. And considering the city's financial position and the next few years of our financial outlook, I don't think it's wise to start reconsidering too many of our alternative funding sources. But I do think that on the regulations piece, it is generally a good practice for us to be reviewing and considering which of those are perhaps contrary to the city's goals compared to when that regulation was adopted. So I probably won't vote for this motion, but I suppose I'm persuadable, depending on others' thoughts.
Thanks, Alder. Justice?
No, actually, Lynette here, Jim, not here, Lynette's here. Oh, you were just talking. Sorry, man, it's been a long decade. I'd be curious to hear what you got to think, what we have to say about this.
Sure, absolutely. So we did receive the student recommendations last night, so I was able to forward them to our DPCED team. So that would be our directors of other departments. So unfortunately, DPCED, the staff in our planning and zoning department, have not had the opportunity to really dive in and engage on those student recommendations, the new ones, just yet. We, for the recommendations that the Housing Strategy Committee gave for rental and home ownership, the staff were able to spend time to wordsmith those before they went into the report for your final review. I did ask, though, for any directors, if they could review them, of any red flags. The only one that was a kind of, well, we should talk about this a little bit more, was the evaluate the fees. And mostly that is, just as you just said, Justice, when we are evaluating, especially our impact fees, and I remember as we went through for instance, the park fee waiver, that was a very intensive process that took time, and we had to kind of coordinate that with state legislation. So I would say that that was the only new recommendation at this time that staff said we should really kind of consider that, especially if that was a strong evaluation. I think, though, as you know, as I'm hearing Jason and Bill and everyone that has worked on this, I think the city staff also still are committed to always researching and making sure that we are looking at what best works for not only us, but for our developers as well. So I would just mention that that was the only one that gave a little bit of pause in a quick review of staff, but not that staff were saying that it can't be done. We just want to make sure everyone recognizes that that is a very lengthy process connected to many other things.
Well,
would it be simpler for staff not to review everything, but to just provide a unified schedule of fees and what the basis for each of those fees would be? So for instance,
I could not answer, Will, if that was easier or not. Most of what we do with, especially again, impact fees, goes through our attorney's office. And that's where a lot of that lives, again, because a lot of that is connected to state legislature as well, legislation of what we're allowed to charge. And again, most impact fees have to be, again, related to some type of service that we're doing. So I don't know how easy that would be. I can't answer that.
Justice?
Just off the same thing, going to Alder Field's point is, you know, again, I think all of these should be looked at. You know, there's certain ones that I think are going to stick out right away that we should definitely look at the potential for getting rid of them or for changing the way that they operate. But we should be disciplined about how we do it. And I say that about fees and the regulations that I don't think, at least in terms of direction to city staff or as a way to approach this, just saying we should evaluate all of them. I just don't think that that's a responsible way to go forward. Everything else, though, I agree with. So, you know, that's how I feel. I think the rest, that's my motion.
Alder Field, would you be able to specify what regulations you want to look into more, Alder Field?
No, I don't think I'm in a position to be very specific about that.
Okay, so right now we have on to remove the whole phrase or remove just all development fees, keep just development fees, keep regulations in.
Point of order, Chair, just to clarify, can you say one more time, did we separate the question of fees and regulations, or are they in the same motion?
We have not separated them yet. Right, okay. Now, the only motion from Justice is to remove all, and your reasoning for not. Alder Aguirre.
Thank you, Chair. I'm inclined to think that there is some value to leaving this in its current form in the report. It would be an absolutely mind-blowing, gigantic effort to do a thorough review. But I assume it would begin, and I think this is where Committee Member Will was going, that, you know, I see it as starting with just a comprehensive list of everything that's there before there were any deep analysis of the individual things. And perhaps out of that, perhaps some future review by this committee, we could then prioritize it. But I think it would be a great benefit at any rate, just to have a comprehensive list as a beginning point. When you see it all together and you see what the totals could be that might be loaded on a particular project. I also feel that as Alder Fields mentioned, that there may not be a worse time to talk about fees than right now, because I whether the referendum is approved in 2 weeks or not, the long range plans have major increases in fees and new fees, and so I think we're probably strategically more likely to see an increase in the fees that are currently out there than we have today, than that anything could be cut in the hopes that it would have a favorable impact on the affordability. But I think I'm going to vote against the amendment because I think there is some value in some kind of review. Thank you.
Thank you, Alder Garrett.
And I just a point of so Justice made a motion. There still has not been a second to that motion. So there is no yet voting on that motion until there is someone yet to even give a second to that motion. So I just want to pause and see if there is even a second to that motion before we move forward.
So it shouldn't have happened.
Sorry. Yeah. Well, can I ask you a question too, Lynette? So. Yep. We accept with one amendment, we had talked about doing all the amendments, so we can accept with the amendment and still discuss more amendments.
You could. I had just suggested discussion at all before there was any additional individual motions, just so that we could get one motion at the end with all amendments. Mm-hmm. But right now we do have a motion on the table, which we should either get a second or, yeah. And so let's take this moment and see if there is even a second. Which I'm not seeing any. So we're still back to the original motion of just accepting the report.
Well, second. Okay, so now we can discuss accepting the report. And Justice.
Just another point to Alder Garrett, Alder Fields will be budget stuff. I think in terms of using staff time intelligently and with some degree of precision, having them just go through all this randomly, I don't think it's an appropriate use of their time, and especially because of the lift. That's why I'm saying that it needs to be rethought, especially because of where we are with the budget. So given the constraints, and I think there's a lot of concern from a lot of places about the way that staffing, whether it's through allocation, all the raises and all the other things that have been brought up, or just the way that we're using their time, why we would have something as general as this, as even an idea of something that we want them to be doing. That's kind of where I'm going with this. And I think we can do this in a better use of their time.
Well,
to respond to that, I was debating seconding your motion, Justice. I was thinking about it, but I was thinking about the purpose of the report, and realistically, any staff time is going to be done under the direction of the mayor's office and or the common council. And I think they are smart enough to know that doing a comprehensive review of all regulations is not a good use of staff time. Keeping the language in there does give people a reason to point to specific things that we may not have mentioned and say, we have the prerogative. We have a report from the Housing Strategy Committee that says, just because something is a current regulation doesn't mean it's a good regulation, is sort of how I am thinking about this. And so I understand your concern. But I also don't think anyone is going to direct staff to do I hope no one directs staff to do just a ragtag, evaluate every regulation and come up with everything. That's my thoughts.
Thanks, Paul. Are there any other questions on this item or Julia?
I guess just would, I think someone else mentioned this already, but would taking out the all give a little bit more like leeway to not saying look at every single regulation, but any regulation could be something that could be evaluated? I just don't know if that would be helpful.
No one had brought up that point yet, Julia, I don't think, but Justice.
You know, I run into, you know, in terms of the regulations, I mean, again, there are specific ones that I'm very adamant about in terms of both, you know, for and against, I guess. And I think as someone who's trying to come up with opportunities to create low-income housing at every opportunity I can, trust me, I am, you know, there's a number of things that I think are extraordinarily frustrating and we should spend a lot of time looking at them. We should make compelling cases. There is a very real swath of a deregulatory, you know, this idea that the problem is the regulation. And that is an ultra conservative perspective that I think is very problematic. And we should be very careful in terms of how we're approaching these things about all regulation, because that's not the issue. And a lot of these things are there for really good reason. The environmental review, where you're going to put housing for low-income children, we should have a lot of discretion over that stuff, because we have a bad history of not looking at that. And then we have catastrophic long-term effects on the populations that become more marginalized. Being very conscious of how we're thinking about the relationship between housing and economy, housing and education, and all these other things, there are real reasons for a lot of the regulations. So to just throw this in as a broad brush, I just think that speaks to a type or a political orthodoxy around regulation as being inherently bad. And I think that doesn't help us get to addressing a lot of the problems that we do have with the current regulatory infrastructure and environment.
I'll take a gear.
I think these are good points, and part of the problem are just the semantics we're working with. A couple of thoughts, and I have to think a bit here about how we would go about this under Robert's rules. But there might be a lot more support for toning down this dramatic review that's implied by this if we were to say something like identify development fees and regulations that could be adjusted or altered to improve housing affordability. It implies then that there would be some things worthwhile looking at without sending us off to something that wouldn't, as I think Justice put very well, rather than looking at this as a regulatory witch hunt from the extreme right.
Justice.
Yeah, I would agree with the sentiment there. I think that what all you are saying, I think, you know, this body, for instance, and we still have these other subcommittees that we have not quite gotten rid of yet, are great groups. That's what's kind of what I was going at, is that if you went back and listened to a lot of the conversations, I know it's been a while, that we had in those spaces, we were actually identifying very real specific regulations and some of the fees that are associated with development of housing. So like using the group and the structure that we already have to actually go in and identify those things, to me, is a much more effective way of going about what the intent is of this statement here in this report.
There you go.
I sense we may be moving towards some alternate language here that might be generally acceptable and still recognizes the fact that the students in this group, the student group, identified some things worth looking at. We just need, and perhaps Lynette could make a suggestion on, under Robert's rules, how we might go about getting an adjustment to that language rather than just eliminating it.
Sure, absolutely. So again, right now you are on the motion of just accepting the report. So you can now make a motion to amend the language, as you have just said, of identifying, repeat what you just said. So you can make that motion. Then we would pause and look for a second of that changing language. If you get a second to your motion then of amending that language, you guys may all discuss that amended language. And then we would ask for a unanimous approval of that motion. If anyone would like a roll call though, we can take a roll call. And if that doesn't pass, we would go back. So if you would like to make a motion to amend the language, I will give you the floor to do that.
I'll do your care.
Okay, let me try to do this. So just for perspective here, let's note that the current item, third from the end of the student recommendation, says evaluate all development fees and regulations and whether any should be reduced to assist the cost of housing. I would like to amend the report to change the wording of that item to identify development fees and regulations which, if altered, would contribute to housing affordability.
Which, if altered, would, can you say the last part one more time?
Which, if altered, would contribute to housing affordability.
Contribute to housing affordability. Alder Field, is that a second? Got it. All right. So this is open for discussion. Seeing no raised hands. Justice?
Whatever. I don't want to support it, but I think it's redundant. So what we're doing is what the point of the committee is.
Anybody else? All right, so we have a motion to change the wording to identify development fees and regulations, which, if altered, would contribute to housing affordability. Assume unanimous approval, unless I see any raised hands. You have any raised hands? All right, seeing none, the motion to change the line, evaluate all development fees and regulations, whether any should be reduced to assist the cost of living, that should be taken out and replaced with identify development fees and regulations, which, if altered, would contribute to housing affordability. Passes unanimously. Did I say all those words? Okay, then we still have the original motion to accept the report open, and if there's any other amendments, Justice, we can go ahead and discuss other amendments. Will?
This is not an amendment. Are we allowed to do discussion generally right now?
Yes.
Okay. I am confused by the encourage flexibility of use in new housing developments, workforce housing. And it says product that serves the entire market and focus on all populations, not just one population. This came out of the student housing recommendations. And is that what I'm confused about is how they are stratifying populations into subpopulations. Is that within the student population having a range of affordabilities? Is it having various demographics in one building? Is a product that serves, what is a product that serves the entire market?
Can we open it
real quick? Because it applies to the other stuff that we did in Prancel. And it's just, I mean, and, you know, they answered this question well, but the point is, if you need to be, if, for financing in particular, it helps when you can be creative in terms of the percentages of, you know, the way that you're looking at housing. So instead of saying that the housing has to specifically or exclusively be student housing, it's allowing creativity and saying that it can be more than just student housing. And that's how I understood them saying, but, you know, other NGOs, he can speak to that, I guess.
Yeah, go ahead, Alder.
Thank you. I just quickly wanted to add, developers and management companies in general, they're not allowed to discriminate whether you are or are not a student. So even if they build, unless you're a dorm built by the university, unless you build a dorm, if someone applies to sign a lease, then regardless of their student status, you have to let them in if they meet the qualifications. So there's no just student housing specifically. There is apartments that market mostly to students, but if, again, non-students apply and sign a lease, then they can take that. Personally, I wouldn't mind if this was less prioritized. This is just me as the student, Alder specifically. I obviously have a little biased here. Student housing has been exploding in the past couple of years. So personally, I don't see too much of an issue with incentivizing student housing a little bit more from the city side, but that's all.
Alder. Julia?
So my understanding of this recommendation was more to, right, so as Alder Govinder Rajan said, like, right, you can't exclude people who aren't students, but the student-focused housing is set up in such a way that, like, a lot of times you might even be sharing a room with someone, not even just, like, sharing an apartment. So my understanding was that it was to somewhat, like, move away from that model to potentially having, like, encouraging a more general model of, like, this is a three-bedroom apartment and, you know, do with that what you will. Like, you could have six people living in it, but we're not going to be charging rent based off of, like, the bed and, like, a two-bed per room situation. But I guess, and I would think that that would hopefully trend towards being more affordable, but I guess I don't know that that's exactly the case either.
Bill, let's see what he has to shine some light.
Bill can't talk right now. He's not in the
committee. That's what I thought. Okay. But all right, Bill, we can't ask you a question.
We can vote to ask him a question. Someone can make a motion to ask him a question.
Oh, go ahead, Justice.
Sorry, I did want to jump in because Justice pointed out after the presentation that we were following Robert's rules, so all questions to the student group were before the motion. You guys can, at this moment, make a motion to suspend Robert's rules, and you can ask additional questions, but you need a motion, and you need a second, and you need a vote on it at that point. So I just wanted to point that out in case, but the Alder can always come in and speak and answer questions for you guys as well, if you want to keep the conversation moving.
Got it. Wow, Justice.
I'm not a person suspending Robert's rules ever. I feel like it's fine. And, you know, it's whatever. So I'll just say this about this. I would probably have a problem with the language in this thing if it said anything other than encourage at the beginning of it. Because a lot of what Alder Governor Rajan and I'll keep working on your name, man. So hopefully I'm doing it right. I'm getting close. what he said, you know, because he's right about the excluding people explicitly because of students, but there's other ways you can do that in terms of income. And it's a constant fight about trying to find ways to not be as restrictive around income and the demands for certain types of incomes in housing to be more flexible. But all this is saying is that we should encourage more flexibility. And I feel like the word encourage is encouraging for me to be fine with it in this report.
Alder Govindarajan.
Thank you. You guys are all doing fabulous on my name, by the way. I appreciate it. Yes, so that's completely right. Long-term thinking, Madison will definitely need flexibility in housing. That's 100% right. Populations for student enrollment can fluctuate. That's very accurate. I think one thing I want to bring attention to is specifically workforce housing. That is something that students are not eligible for. Workforce housing is based on area median income, as many of you know, and students most often than not just don't really have income. And it just gets complicated calculating their area median income. So if it's encouraging flexible housing, I think there might just have to be a discussion in how flexible it should be before it starts excluding students, just because this is also the student housing work group specifically, that there could be flexibility, but that flexibility should include students. And again, you can break down the student subpopulation even more. There's undergraduates, there's graduate students, a fair amount of grad students have families, and some of them do qualify for workforce housing. There's 50,000 students, so it's hard to even just call them a subpopulation specifically, but that's all.
The Alder, Justice.
You know, I feel backwards. I mean, it's something brought up, right? And the majority of students they come from wealthy families at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. They do not come from lower income neighborhoods. And by doing this, by trying to do this, again, it sets up a precedent around the city in terms of the way that the city, the efforts to emphasize and use all tools to create low-income housing for the people who are born here and who are, you know, in our lowest income populations in Madison. So I'm just saying that because this argument about, I mean, yes, students, undergraduate students are full-time students and don't have any money, but it isn't the case that they all come from low-income families. That isn't real. And it's the opposite of that, where many of them are coming from families that are making over $90,000 a year. And so being very careful about that. But again, it says encourage. I'm fine with the language.
Brookfield.
Thank you, Chair. I wanted to chime in about the Madison College student study idea, because I think that is intriguing. In particular, given that is so the Madison College, and like many of our technical colleges in Wisconsin, they serve a larger share of commuter students, and kind of the geographic distribution of that population and thus their need for housing around where Madison College facilities are, I think is very interesting. And the city stands to learn a lot from the land uses where those students ideally would be able to live. So I appreciate this group elevating that idea. Thank you.
Thanks, Alder Field. Well, did that help you understand better? Go ahead.
Yeah, that did help me understand better. And we've talked about student housing vis-a-vis they come from wealthy families. They're not all low income, even if they don't have any income. And they can't all, they none of no students can qualify, no undergraduate students can qualify for Section 42 LIHTC credits. And to your point, Justice, one thing I think misses from that analysis of most students come from wealthy families is that it also means the students who come from the least wealthy families are treated the same and have the fewest tools to help step up. They don't qualify for affordable housing. They don't qualify for a lot of other government programs by virtue of being students. So I understand where you're coming from, because we don't want to, the city has limited resources and we don't want to use a lot of that on people who don't actually need it. But it also, I do think we need to think about the people who are vulnerable. And I don't know how this particular item really addresses it, but I'm fine leaving it as it is.
Well, do you care? Still muted, Alder Gare.
I see that Alder Govindarajan has raised his hand, and if it's with respect to Will's comments and the related discussion, that would make more sense to have his input at this point rather than what I was going to do, which was to make suggest another amendment.
Okay.
Thank you, John. I appreciate it. I'll be quick. Yes. To just add on to what Will was saying, yes, a lot of students do have wealthier families. They can afford much more than a fair amount. But I think, again, the way the city has been incentivizing specifically student housing is, as Julia mentioned, sometimes there can be multiple beds in a single bedroom. That is what we kind of have defined as student housing. That's what the city has used by bed renting. When we do the height bonus model, the affordable housing model, things like that, that we've partnered with certain developers on. If we encourage flexibility in a sense where it starts excluding that bit a little bit, and maybe it becomes difficult for the student, for the city to continue the height bonus affordability model, then the students who are currently able to use that affordability program, they will be the ones to suffer, not necessarily the ones who might be able to afford that place in the first place. There's I believe 4,000 or 5,000 students now who qualify for Bucky's tuition promise. I was one of them when I was a student, and that's a full scholarship. That means that your family is making less than 65,000, 62,000 a year, and you can just barely actually make tuition payments. Not even like you couldn't even get close to thinking about housing or groceries and things like that. So that's where I really try to focus most when it comes to providing student affordable housing. And that's just wanted like to emphasize that when we consider the discussion of providing flexibility in the student housing market. That's all. Thank you.
Thanks, Alder. And back to you, Alder Yeager.
All right. So this is a motion, a second amendment to the document. The second proposed new additional item reads, encourage additional comprehensive market analysis to in greater downtown area. And I would like to amend that to place a comma after area and add the following words, and in particular, rigorously identify the actual inventory of student housing. Period.
In particularly rigorous, last part again.
A rigorous, yeah, determination of the actual inventory of student housing. I'm using the word rigorous there to cover the expectation that it would be academically defensible.
Do we have a second, Alder Field? Are there, Dury Gare, would you like to speak to that a little more?
I'll just say that this was part of the conversation with our registrants in trying to achieve an actionable wording for that particular item, so it was clear what we were looking for in particular, just a comprehensive market analysis might or might not include the specific objective that they had in mind. And I think it's a worthy one.
Anybody have any questions, comments on that motion? Well,
just a point of order. Can you repeat what the motion
is? Okay, so the motion was to, in that second to last recommendation, and the new one we saw from the student group that reads, encourage a comprehensive market analysis for Madison College students. No, sorry. Before that, Montague sheets of paper. The one that's encourage a comprehensive market analysis. Nope. Encourage additional comprehensive market analysis in the greater downtown area. Right now there's a period. All you care is suggesting a comma, and then, and in particular to rigorously determinate. Although you care, why don't you do it one more time for me? We're going to get there.
And in particular to rigorously identify the actual inventory of student housing, period.
Rigorously identify
the actual inventory of student housing.
You have that now, Will? Okay. Second, are there any other questions or comments on that? Assume unanimous consent, unless I see any raised hands. Okay. Seeing none, I'll do Gare's motion to add the comma, and in particular, rigorously to identify the actual inventory of student housing. Great. You got that, Ben?
I've got it.
Thank you. Right, it's been a long decade, right? Okay, then we can move on if there are any other suggested amendments or questions. Justice?
This flexibility thing. Just for the record, I absolutely think that the university should be aggressive in creating more student housing, and I really support the university, private sector in doing that, because it's an imperative and it's very serious. I also really encourage the university to work on, I mean, the fact that we have the same percentage of Black students at this university today that we did in 1974 is embarrassing. And the yield of the folks of color that are getting into this university across the board and low-income students together is embarrassing. And the fact that the university is making zero progress in that is embarrassing. Now, it doesn't mean that there are no low-income students at the university or that there's no students of color. I am one of them. I get that. I am also acknowledging everything we're saying about the only ways that we have to guarantee that housing, when we're going back to this in terms of the income restrictions, why that's so important for the creation and retention of low-income housing throughout the city, just for us to understand why that is so important. So for us to be making an exception saying we should get rid of that to support students at a university that is overwhelmingly white, and continues to be, and overwhelmingly made up of students that come from higher incomes. I just, again, we're not changing anything here, but I'm just, every time I hear this, it's like, what world are people living in terms of looking at the demographics of the university, and not just today, but the trends over the last 50 years. Now, the university should absolutely create more housing. And I think that as the city of Madison goes, we should continue to pressure them and to impress upon them the importance of them doing that.
Justice. Do we have any other amendments or questions to the report?
No, Julie, I just want to jump in on just process. We have written down your emotions and we will make amendments then. You are the lead to this housing report. So we will make sure that those edits get in the housing report before it goes to Common Council. So they will have a final report. So I'm just bringing that back to the motion on the table is to accept the housing report. Your motions will be included, those edits will be included in that final report for the Common Council. So we'll get that into Legistar before noon tomorrow, because Council is just next week. I just wanted to make sure everyone knows that we will make those edits directly to the report.
Thank you, Lynette. Any other thoughts, concerns, or we will return to the original motion to accept the report, take that to a vote. Turn to the motion to accept the report, knowing that the amendments that we've just passed will be included in it. I will assume unanimous consent unless I see any raised hands. Any raised hands? Seeing none, the motion to accept the report passes unanimously. And we will move on to the next order of new business and update on the Housing Policy Committee from Lynette, please.
Yes. So I want to thank all of you immensely for the dedication, the time, the effort, everything that you guys put into not only writing and finalizing this housing report, but various meetings over the course of years that we have worked on the Housing Strategy Committee. As a reminder, earlier this year, this committee and our Common Council approved a ordinance change that actually dissolves the Housing Strategy Committee upon approval of this housing report. So the Housing Strategy Committee and the Landlord-Tenant Issues Committee will be merging to form the Housing Policy Committee. So we will not meet as a Housing Strategy Committee for the next couple months as we work on now creating the Housing Policy Committee. Ben and I will actually not staff the Housing Policy Committee. So we bid you farewell. You will probably see us be special guests at some point, but at the approval of this, again, that MGO, the ordinance between the Housing Strategy and all of the subcommittees of the Housing Strategy will now be dissolved to be create the housing policy. The next steps, though, for housing policy, the mayor's office or other staff will be reaching out to members of the committee to talk about a transition to Housing Policy Committee. We are actually also looking at other city committees as well, that we have some openings and some potential. So we will be reaching out individually to all of the members. It most likely will maybe not be me, but it will be someone from the city staff. I keep kind of saying that, and I'm like, it's not that I'm super excited, but we staff a lot of meetings in Community Development Division. So I just wanted to really, though, honestly, thank everyone for their time and dedication. Ben and I and Jim have very much appreciated conversations with this committee over time. And we will, again, be reaching out either to discuss Housing Policy Committee or potential other committees as well for that we have at the city. So I want to thank everyone very much.
Thank you, Lynette. Justice, you saw your hand briefly. Was it about the subcommittees? All right, does anyone have any questions on the update from Lynette? A second, her. Thank you very much, and the Vice Chair Justice for your great expertise through all this. Then we will, I guess that is all. Do we have a motion to adjourn from Alder Field? And second from Justice, third Julia. I'll Assume unanimous consent unless I see any raised hands. Seeing none, the motion to adjourn this meeting passes unanimously and the meeting is adjourned at 6:19. And thank you all so very much.
Thank you.
Have a great night.